Hi, everybody. Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And in the studio with me again, of course, Kevin O'Donohue,
hey,
new
Ben
director
Starr.
Of the Positive Mind Center here, and Asima Diane Deemer. Thank you both for being here today.
Great to be here.
Hey, Ben. Hey, everybody.
So, interesting conversation we had yesterday, the three of us in here, and great phone calls from you, our listeners. We were talking about nostalgia and its effect on the psyche and how it can be useful and how it can be helpful, how it serves us mentally. And it was pretty eye-opening, Kevin.
It was terrific. It was a lot of fun. Actually, I really got in touch with the younger part of myself. I didn't expect it. You know, I'm in that age group that, you know, is not inclined to be nostalgic. Nostalgia peaks at like 20, 25, 20, between 20 and 25. And then goes into a kind of rest for the next 20, 30 years, and then resurges in your 60s all the way through to the end. So I was pretty surprised by it. But I did want to say we want women to call in today. We had four male callers yesterday. We obviously want men callers also, but we're looking to get women to call in today.
Yeah.
Tell us their nostalgic moments. And even if you're in your 50s like I am, we'd love to hear from you and how you might benefit from today's show and how you can use nostalgia to get in touch with a freer, younger, less burdened.
Well, when you said
spontaneous,
when you said it helped you get in touch with a younger part of yourself, what did you mean by that?
You know, I was surprised. I really didn't plan on this, but you know, when you asked me what I was nostalgic for, I thought about, you know, it's summertime and I thought about a swimming pool, and I remember being a kid growing up. You know, my summer days were around a swimming pool that was crowded with kids and noises. And I actually had the image of me standing there on the cement sort of surrounding the pool and could feel the cement under my feet and the sun over my head and just this you know, abundance of sunshine. And, you know, I had all my hair back then. And, you know, so I was definitely younger. And I felt in my body what I felt when I was that age. I felt full and I felt limber and free and at rest and peaceful and open and available and spontaneous and confident.
Yesterday we did bring up some of the benefits of nostalgia that have been actually proven scientifically in studies to affect us mentally and physically, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about that. And revisiting the past and the reasons why people do it, the motivations behind it, and the effects that it can have on the human psyche and the mental process. We thought we'd explore a little bit more about that today and look at it also from some different perspectives. And we also did something that we like to do, which is dig into the archives and look for an example of if we can find Armand's take on a certain subject. And we did find that with this one, which we'll bring to you shortly. But Kevin, what did you think about the callers that we got yesterday as far as where they were coming from in their perspective on nostalgia?
Did you hear their energy? I mean, to a man, there was four guys calling. And they were all excited. The one guy talking about the grass and the smell that he's been trying to get back in touch with and hasn't felt or touched in 20 years, and him describing it to me. So he sort of gave me the gift.
And that he had such a loss around not being able to smell it.
Right.
Somehow it disappeared.
Yeah, yeah. So there may be a little tincture of loss when you get nostalgic. But in his telling of it, even though he was, you know, bemoaning the loss of this odor in his life, you could hear the electricity, no pun, and excitement in talking about it. So to a man, everybody was excited even talking about their old memories, their nostalgia. So I was surprised by that and happily surprised.
Yeah, it's the generational gap, I think, figures a great deal into nostalgia. When I think about just the generations in my family and the differences between, you know, my experience in coming of age and my father's, who came of age in the 60s, or his father, who came of age in the 30s, or his parents, who were immigrants here and were, you know, selling fish off of a cart, you know, in the 1910s.
Yeah.
You know, every one of those generations will have a completely different nostalgic perspective and a completely different meaning for, you know, what it might mean, what event or component of memory might trigger that nostalgic feeling. I mean, it can be anything. It can be a photograph, a historical reference, a memory or a smell. I mean, any kind of stimuli.
Yeah.
That is linked to our earlier experiences. And as we talked about yesterday, it can serve many different purposes. On the positive side, it gives us a reference point. It gives us this foundational reference point around our identity and experience. So, right, our past it's part of what defines who we are, our experiences that we've had.
Yeah, and it can potentially connect us to others, you know, sharing, you know, musical likes or experiences, you know, swimming. Like, say, you know, I swam a lot as a kid, and I can totally get that feeling too. So, and it helps to connect to people.
It brings up empathy. I mean, when you see somebody waxing nostalgic about something, you know, because you know what it's like to be nostalgic, you can actually listen to them and get into their experience and see what it was like for them. That's what empathy is.
Yeah, and especially if you had the same, you know, sort of nostalgic experience, then that's even more connecting.
Yeah.
Well, we know it's about a feeling, right? That's sort of what we keep getting back to, both yesterday and today. And it's a way to get back to prior feelings that were safe and comfortable or uplifting, which can, you know, then make us feel that same safety or comfort in the present moment. It's, you know, it's a way to get in touch with who we are, and it can be a positive thing. Now, on the flip side, we often like to look at the breakdown of words and language, because language is so important in understanding reality. A wise man once said, all of reality is made of language. So let's look at the word nostalgia. It comes from two different Greek words. Nostos, which means return, and algos, which means suffering. So in a sense, you know, from the original Greek, it can be a return to suffering.
Right.
And, you know, the difficulty in terms of the existential difficulty when you think about things like regret or contrasting, like we talked about yesterday, those were the days, everything was better back then. Right, that gets into some more dangerous territory, and that's something we have to keep in mind, too.
I agree, you know, and as we said yesterday, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that life was great back then also. Life is, bottom line, you know, you say life is reality. What did you say? It's language? Reality? I think reality, you know, reality is pain. Living this life with this body that we have to keep going and feeding and all that is difficult. And so it was difficult when you're 15. It's difficult when you're 35. It's difficult when you're 55. So, you know, we look back to the good old days, and that might not be the true thing. But what nostalgia can do is it can bring back, like, these sensual moments, like this guy talking about the grass, and remember that I am that person. It's a bridge. It's like it creates continuity. And so when I got in touch with that kid by the swimming pool in summer, you know, I might have been having a hard, you know, tough day. I was afraid of my dad growing up or whatever was happening. But I felt in that moment that I must have felt really good in that moment. And I still have that in me. And so when we talk about nostalgia and using nostalgia as a strategy, we can use it as a way of creating continuity and feeling a sense of continuity with our old self and our current self.
It's a good point, Kevin. Yeah. I'd like to share with our listeners the clip that we found from the archives. By the way, you're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. Thank you for tuning in. And we're going to share with you a piece that we found from the archives of Armand DeMille. He's talking about this very subject, and as we do like to do, is bring you in, you know, any perspective we can find when we do a given topic. So take a listen to this, and when we come back, we'll start taking your calls and delving further into this discussion. But here's Armand DeMille on nostalgia and homesickness, for that matter.
Is it your family you're yearning for, or is it the feeling of being connected? This is a very big question. Is it what you actually miss, or is it a feeling inside you that you're looking to feel? do you miss the country if you work here in the city? Or do you miss you in the country, the way you feel? Do you miss the beach when it's the middle of the winter? Or do you miss you at the beach? Is it, do you miss your cousin Sadie? Or do you miss you when you're sitting at the farm with cousin Sadie? You know, that's the real question. The real question is it some part of you that you're longing for, you know, when you're longing for these other things? And why do people pick certain things that they're nostalgic for and not other things? Well, science has kind of looked into it. Here's what they've come up with. Halbrook and Schindler. Morris Halbrook, who was a professor of marketing at Columbia University, Robert Schindler, who was a business professor at Rutgers, they started looking, they were examining consumer nostalgia, probably working for some organization that was going to sell something. Here's what they found. There seems to be a critical period for preference formation of nostalgia, of things that you call back on in your mind. It happens during this time that people imprint on popular products. So by mere exposure isn't enough to spur nostalgic bonding. It has to do with the depth of emotional experience. When something is powerful to you, it creates an enduring bond in your psyche. Now, their theory goes on to say that you are most nostalgic for the thing, the moment in which you became a volitional consumer. Now, that means when you were suddenly doing something by yourself as opposed to being dressed by your parents. So this is, for example, when you felt like really independent and you remember something connected to your independence, like the Beatles. You know, many of you will remember Beatles music and you'll remember the wildness you felt because it was at a time that you were growing up, many of you, when the Beatles were emerging and you were emerging from your family. You were getting out of your family, so the Beatles were there. For many of you, it could be 70s music, 80s music, it could be 90s music, according to the time that you were emerging from your family. And they say that the strongest nostalgia we have are for things that took place as we were emerging. So you can imagine 40 years from now, we're going to be looking back and we're going to be nostalgic for bling, you know, for things that people are now doing, like, you know, all that hip-hop jewelry that people are wearing that is part of, represents today's independence from the families. So what are you nostalgic for? I am going to claim to you, you're either going to be nostalgic for something that reminds you of a lost time with your family or reminds you of a time of your independence, of when you first felt independent. Now, the second thing that people are nostalgic for is during the, what they call the raging hormone hypothesis of nostalgia. And this is that it is remembering a time, remembering something, particularly in males, which leads a certain significance to clothing and to hairstyles. So many men, for example, are very attracted to old cars. Because what happened with those old cars is they felt their vitality, their virility during the time of their raging hormones. So what they're looking to do is to get a 1957 Chevy because it reminds them of them when they were free and running around and having a good time because it's associated with a 57 Chevy. I mean, for some people, it's an 85 Toyota or a Honda Accord or a Volkswagen Beetle. You know, I saw a Volkswagen Beetle bus for sale the other day. I was passing by and I saw one in a car lot. And I said, oh, maybe I'll get that because I could use that for a second car or something like that. And what am I thinking? It was the bus that brought back the nostalgia, you see. I remember people with painted buses. Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. See, we're trying to connect. We're all trying to connect. You're trying to connect with me. I'm trying to connect with you. Homesickness, nostalgia. You feel it over and over again. And as I take your calls today and ask you this question, what memory comes to you? What comes to you? What do you remember? Like, here are some of the things that people remember. People who grew up in the 1940s, they remember Humphrey Bogart. They remember swing dancing. Remember how swing dancing just came back as a style? Why? Because that was a raging hormone hypothesis. That was also the independence from your parent hypothesis. If that was the time when you associate with your wildness, with your lucid time, it was the beginning, you know? So if you were during that time, swing dancing, the shadow, fedora caps, fedora hats, just coming back in styles, Judy Garland. In the 50s, Pez, remember Pez dispensers? The Beatniks, Betty Page, Elvis Presley, Tupperware. You know, Tupperware has come back in fashion. People are buying Tupperware and actually having it around their homes again. In the 60s, it was Bewitched. It was The Twist, miniskirts, the Magical Mystery Tour. All of that brings back memories. Think about it, those of you. Now there, you see, if you touch the people who are just at that time, in the 70s, Farrah Fawcett, the Brady Bunch, disco music, flared pants. What were you like in the 70s? What were you like? Were you just growing up? The 80s had moon boots, had punk, the Blue Lagoon, Donkey Kong, Reese's Pieces, the Dukes of Hazzard, all associated with the 80s. And the 90s was, you know, the haircuts, Monica Lewinsky, grunge music, so on and so forth. All of these memories that come back from these different periods. What about yours, my friends?
What about yours? I know for me, the 90s, that was kind of when I was coming of age, and it was kind of what Armand said. I mean, it was definitely Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa going head-to-head, you know, like the revitalization of the home run in baseball. That was a big deal.
I'm nostalgic for polyester.
Polyester.
Capizios.
A big one in the 90s was actually Pokemon, which has now made this enormous comeback.
Yeah.
Enormous rebirth.
Wow.
And I think owes much of its renewed success to that nostalgia. That's, I think, been driving that.
Resurgence of the leisure suit. It will come back.
Leisure suit.
Right? Well, we do have the mid-70s, you know.
The jumpsuits back for women. Are they? Yeah, women are wearing the one-piece jumpsuit.
I'm telling you.
So it might come back for the men.
It's time to invest in polyester or
jumpsuits. They've got really high-refined polyesters now, most of our clothes
are polyester. So whatever it is, right, and we heard Armand go through the decades just now, and he talked about nostalgic things from the 40s all the way through the 90s for people who came of age in those times. The consistent theme seems to be people are going back to a childhood time or a coming of age time. And what I wonder is what is the motivation? What is the reason? What is the attraction to that?
Yeah, well, it seems like, and I was doing a little reading here, that you want to connect to those childhood times because that was a time when, you know, maybe you felt really connected to the earth, to the trees, to the birds, the butterflies. You had time to watch and chase a butterfly. You know, how wondrous was that as a kid? Like, it just filled your whole being. And I remember as a kid just having those days to be in the backyard playing with a dog, lying under a tree, hugging a tree, climbing a tree. And it was just like a beautiful connection that I had. And I had my whole little world that I had created to play in, and that imagination and that space. I think a lot of people long for that again, you know, that you know, sort of connection without any work. It was there. I didn't have to think about it. I was connected.
Yeah.
And we lose that as we get older and we have like life stories to deal with and you know, getting through life and feeding yourself. But in those days, you didn't have to worry about that and you had time to feel connected. Mm.
I can tell you right now, I remember being 11, 12 years old and being nostalgic for when I was 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. I mean, I distinctly remember that. And I remember having a feeling at when I was a little bit older, you know, in 11 or 12, I'd say, feeling like I had missed out on something from when I was younger. feeling like I used to have something that I no longer had.
Right.
And then not never understanding what it was or how to exactly put my finger on it, but feeling this kind of loss there.
Yeah.
And I wonder what it is. I mean, there's a lot of theories as to why younger humans are somehow more cosmically or spiritually in tune.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the brain is actually more exposed when we're newborns. There's that, I think you call it a fontanelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's at the top of the skull.
Sure.
And it's actually literally open when we're born.
Yeah.
And as we grow the first few years of life, it slowly begins to weld and close.
Yeah.
So that's one idea. I don't know. But
In the energetic sense, it sort of disconnects you from, it's when you start saying no, because you actually can start to separate yourself from your mother, your parents, you start to have an individual self. But
you bring up a good point, Ben, about, you know, the nostalgia impulse is born out of like missing and yearning something. So even at 11, I mean, you had that feeling, boy, do I wish I could be my 5-year-old self again. So I think it's kind of really hooked up with freedom, you know, when you felt free. The more I hear about nostalgia,
right.
Like I was thinking when he was talking about, you know, the senior prom, you know, there was a sense of freedom there and opening and possibility. The future was looming. But when he talked about, you know, becoming a consumer and you bought things, I mean, it was the first time I really bought a suit and you know, coiffed my hair and got ready for the, and so it was kind of like a transition moment. It was like I'm now becoming an adult. I'm growing up more so than graduation. So I think he has something there with it being consumer oriented.
All right. I have a distinct memory of being very sad that it was not going to be 1972 anymore. I was like, what? You mean it? And I think that's, you know, I was age 5. Okay. I must have had my first concept of the time changes. And it's like, I wanted to stay 1972 forever.
I think it would be interesting to examine at what point do, because when we're young, right, we're in a rush to grow up. This is a pretty universal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be older. I want to stay up later at night. I want to make my own decisions. I want to drive a car. Mm-hmm. I want to have my own money, right? Kids are preoccupied with these kind of questions a lot of the time. But then there's a turning point, and at some point, we get to an age or a stage where we're actually not excited to grow up, where we're actually not excited for a birthday beyond maybe the party or presents that might or might not, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But what happens is there is an age, there is a turning point where we're not looking forward to that, and that may be the birth of nostalgia. Well, I don't know. I think people under 40 aren't necessarily looking forward to birthdays. You know,
no, I'm joking. But,
yeah.
That's when it started for me.
Yeah, that's classically the midlife crisis time.
40.
Because they want to go back. They want to, you know, buy that 57 Chevy. They want to, you know, feel that surge. They want to, you know.
Yeah, and
start dance
and
classes
really,
or something.
Really, until this topic came up, I didn't really think that I could get so much in touch with this younger part of myself. Now, birthdays might not really be that big a deal.
Well, you were saying that you were wondering whether yesterday talking about nostalgia might be depressing, but it actually left you feeling uplifted.
When you brought up the topic, I said, oh, man, that's going to be depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we actually got into it, and maybe this is what empathy does. When I heard you guys talking about it, I said, wait a second. I do have really nice memories, and not just when I was 8 and 10, but 25 and 30 and different times. And it just reminded me, you know, this old curmudgeonly self is really not all that I have. I really do have this joyous, wonderful, happy to be alive experience.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to be able to strike a balance, as with everything in life, and mentally be able to strike a balance.
Yeah,
we can look at nostalgia as like this sentimental yearning for the past, but it doesn't necessarily have to be something that sort of separates us from that past. It can be, if we want to change our perspective a little bit, something to connect us, a thread to draw through our entire life. That doesn't necessarily force us to, say, draw the distinctions and look at the differences and the woulda, coulda, shouldas, maybe, for example,
regrets,
which definitely sends us down, you know, a kind of a dark a dark path of possibility.
Yeah. You just made me think of Groundhog Day, where, you know, maybe you get an opportunity through nostalgia to go back and make changes, though. You know, to say, hey, you know, this is how I responded then. Maybe I have a chance now. It's coming back. I can change it.
You know, it reminds me of that famous Dr. Seuss quote. And Dr. Seuss said, don't cry because it's over. Be happy that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that quote because it can, you know, we can all learn from that quote. We can all take something from that.
Right.
And it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Sure.
Tennyson.
It's another good one.
I thought I'd throw that little literature, grown-up quotation in there.
Yeah, so I guess the important thing would be to connect with the past rather than comparing the past to the present.
Yeah.
Because when we do that, right, if you're thinking back to maybe a great victory or accomplishment that you had, you know, thinking about that can get you one of two places. A, it can make you feel like a has-been.
Mm.
And then that that makes us feel lower, makes us feel maybe more depressed. Or B, it can help us understand how we got to where we are today. And that's what I mean by instead of separating it, connecting it, drawing a thread from that experience through the rest of our lives until the present moment.
Yeah.
I like that. I really like that. Because, yes, it doesn't all have to be rosy. And maybe you're just, you know, going back in time and reflecting and not comparing, but just looking at it. And you can see the continuity, good and bad, as to why you are at where you're at in your life now. So these memories that can really help you to explain where you are in your life. And I think that is another aspect I didn't appreciate on nostalgia.
It may also give you insight as to where you need to go.
Yeah.
You know, it's again like, hey, you know, I felt really good when I was doing this. Maybe I need to explore that again and see what it's like now to be doing that.
See, the danger of this is psychologists are going to say, whenever you think about the past, it's a bad sign that you're depressed or something. You're looking to relive it. And that's not the case at all. That, you can use these memories, have memories. I mean, it's your life. You can use your memories.
And they're in your system. They're physically in your body system. I use that a lot with my clients. It's in your body.
Tell me about that.
In the memories. The cellular memory has it all. Your whole history is contained in your body.
So you've used somebody's memory to help them?
Yes, to help them maybe like find a way out of maybe a stuck situation they're in or a stuck feeling that they're in. Mm. It's like it's there. All your whole experience is there. The body doesn't forget.
Interesting.
Because memory kind of presents an opportunity to get trapped in a cycle, doesn't it?
It can, yeah. And, you know, then you present, hey, was there a time when you weren't in this cycle? When did this happen? What was it like before this? You know, and that's there. That's there in your memory, and it's there in your body as well. Remember, your bodies and minds are not separate.
Mm.
So if it's in your memory, it's in your body.
Hmm.
There's no way to separate. I know that a lot of people want to separate their mind and body.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, even just the physical body has a muscle memory.
Exactly.
So,
and that's why when you were thinking about the pool, you suddenly felt open-hearted and sun on your face. Because it's in your body. It's there. It never went anywhere.
That's a good point. Well, we'd love to hear from our listeners today. We had some great calls yesterday. And we'd love to hear from you again today. So, you know, we have the opportunity to open up the phones. Because we're out of the fund drive, which we know we can't do that when we're raising money. But we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 212-757-5555.
Yeah, we've missed you.
That's 212-757-5555. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back with your calls after this.
There's one.
fun rendition of Zorba's Dance by Mikis Theodorakis. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to remind you, just to reiterate an announcement that we made yesterday, we are in need of BAI buddies. We have been given a benchmark to meet by WBAI, and every show has to come up with a certain amount, or we do face cancellation, believe it or not. So if you want to stand up and make your voice heard, vote for The Positive Mind, go to WBAI.org and become a BAI buddy in the name of The Positive Mind. That's the important part. And we need as many people as we can to ensure that we can continue producing The Positive Mind and sharing it with you and bringing you these ideas, concepts, and guests and these pieces from our archives. So please, if you can, go to WBAI.org, click on Ways to Donate, and become a BAI buddy. We definitely need you to do that as often as possible. And if you can, you know, even just a one-time contribution in the name of the show. I know we're not pitching right now, we're not raising money, but it would mean a lot to us, and it does help us do the work that we do. Want to go to the calls. I want to thank you also for holding on. We have Mary Jo. How you been, Mary Jo?
Good, very good, thanks. It's so ironic that your topic is nostalgia today, because last night, music brings me back. Like Armand was talking about, you know, different music from different eras. And it's just the way I felt at a particular time in my life that makes it so positive, the nostalgia. And last night, I was taking a Zumba class, and the instructor said, you probably won't even know this song, but it reminds me of, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, and she played this song, and I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it was the song that brought out, like, the best feeling in me. Like,
right.
It was one of my favorite songs from that era, from that time.
And did you feel like a total rush of energy, like you were suddenly that age again?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about, you know, the one-piece jumpsuits, just going downtown to, you know, pick out, buy something for the weekend because we were going out clubbing. And,
right.
You know, back then it was the discos. But, you know, it was just, it really brought me back. And boy, did I burn some calories.
Well, you have to get a bunch of your old disco girlfriends together and just spin Saturday Night Fever. Have a Saturday Night Fever night and just run down memory lane and talk about all the young Mary Jo's going around dancing on the dance floor.
It's just great to capture the feeling, you know. I mean, I don't, you know, have any, like, negative, like, oh, I wish I could be there again. No, I don't want to be back there.
Good.
I just, like, you know.
You're just tapping into it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, I mean, there's such a well of just wonderful energy and fun and spontaneity right there in that memory.
Well, Mary Jo, it sounds like you're bringing it to us. I'm going to spin a little John Travolta myself tonight. And maybe I'd do that arm movement that he did. And,
yeah, well, don't forget the hairbrush in the mirror. You know.
Right, yeah, the hairbrush.
That's right.
The ABBA.
I think I'm buying a hair dryer again.
Right.
So, thanks for calling, Mary Jo. It's good to hear your voice again.
Great to hear your story.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mary Jo. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. That's 212-757-5555.
There's a woman caller. Yeah, that's that woman caller we're looking for. But also men, you know, tell us about when you broke out. Did you? Are you nostalgic for when you broke out? When you broke away from your family, you became independent. Are those memories alive for you? Can you re-experience them now? Do you do that? Do you go there?
Yeah, and I mean, just having all that, it's so accessible, that energy. It's so accessible.
You hear it when she talks about it.
Oh, and I can totally, you know, it's like when I put on the right tunes when I'm working out, just suddenly it's like, woo, I just have a total rush and I'm ready to go, just like I'm 25. And of course I pay the next day, but like she said, burns up a lot of calories. And it's like, well, that's a wonderful way to use nostalgia and the things that really touch you.
But again, I think it's a great way to connect with people. I mean, it maybe makes nostalgizing easier when you're doing it with somebody. They should have nostalgic nights.
Right.
But
let's take another call. We have Marianne on the line. Hi, Marianne.
Two
Marianne.
Women. All right.
Awesome.
Everything you say is lovely if you have good memories.
Yeah.
What do you do with the child of 10 whose parent is trying to eradicate and brainwash and wipe out all her previous memories of her father that just died?
You tell them to stop. And you...
No, you can't talk to the mother. She's not reachable. And
you become the mother for that woman or that person.
That little child was in my house for 2 years until my son passed away.
Okay.
And then mother from another state took her over.
Oh.
Mind and spirit.
Yeah.
Oh.
So was the stepfather.
Mm.
So now this child, you say memories are formed and ingrained in your body and brain.
Yeah.
Is it possible to eradicate those beautiful memories she had with her father?
Well, to process them for sure, but Nisima, you go ahead.
Yeah, and they might just be put in a little, what you might suggest, or this is one technique, to sort of say, let's make a special box, and this special box will hold all those special memories for you forever. And that could even be somewhere that she, you know, hides somewhere in her bedroom, or just in her psyche, in her mind. She can create a room where she puts this box that's very safe. And then nothing can touch it. And if that's what she wants to do, if she wants to...
Would she be capable of doing this at 10 and a half years old,
yeah,
when she's being bombarded by... There's no one there that knows her father and his greatness. There was 400 people at his funeral.
Mm.
Mother did not allow her to attend.
Yeah.
Because we're in New York and they're in another state. Now, how can this child who is being having her memory suppressed daily, and it could be for the next 18, you know, 5 years, 6 years until she becomes a woman?
Mm. Yeah. All I can say is don't underestimate the power of love.
So you're saying these will surface for her and her memories will be retained?
The good they and could. The bad. Sure, some bad memories will come back, and obviously if she's with another adult who can help her process them and put them in perspective, that will definitely help her. But she's 10 and a half, and who knows how she's managing all of this now. If she's,
I don't know. And
yeah,
not,
so and until she, until the damage surfaces, you know, we give her as much love and nurturance as we can until she gets to an age where she's independent.
Yeah. I'm eradicated from her life now that my son is dead, so I can't do that for her.
Yeah, it's a very, it's a tough situation, and because you're not the primary caregiver anymore, it's gonna be difficult. But you can just keep holding her and those memories for her.
And but even 10-year-olds go off to school, and they do have safe environments, and they do have adults who care for them. So she's getting some positive memories along the way, and.
Yeah.
She'll have access to those also when she gets of age. And, you know,
I'll
that's...
Being with her mother. No.
No.
Mother
no.
is married to a sex offender. So
okay. Well, listen, we appreciate it. How about you? Do you have any nostalgic for yourself? When were you,
I have
when
good memories,
you...
yeah. But
tell me one of them.
My good memories is working in my father's bakery that he owned and, you know, selling goodies.
How about cinnamon buns?
Do you remember? Eating goodies. Oh, yes.
Do you remember the smell of cinnamon buns on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Yes, I have good memories, but this child, I don't care about me. See, I'm 79. I care about this child's mental health.
And that's a beautiful thing. And we're going to, people will be around to care for her when she needs it.
Yes, so, that's something that you need to trust, because right now there's not much that you can do. So,
yes, exactly.
So just holding her in your heart and staying with it and just holding that space will mean everything.
And bring her a cinnamon bun when you see her.
Nice
to hear from you. Nice to
All
call.
Right, thank you
so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
212-757-5555. You have to imagine that a 10-year-old does have the awareness and does have... Mm-hmm. The self-awareness, to grow up and begin to ask questions about these sort of things.
Sure.
It's very difficult because they're also dependent on their caregiver. And,
and
we never know what happens. But
the human mind and spirit is resilient.
It is.
I mean, 10-year-olds have a remarkable capacity to handle adversity and horrible, horrible, horrible things. And some don't. When they get older, they have to deal with this.
Yeah.
But many of them do.
Yeah.
And so as tragic as it is, you watch these spirits and you see them grow and you see how unique they can become.
Yeah.
And they become gifts to people.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's sad to hear, but this child is probably getting some memories that she can return to later in life that
exactly.
she'll be able to feel independent and connected and happy
yeah.
with. So, okay, so that's, you know, she talks about music. I mean, music is a real bridge to creating nostalgia. I mean, I was talking mm-hmm. about it yesterday. If you really want to get a nostalgic mood, turn on the music.
Let's take a call real quick. We have Ken on the line. Thanks for holding on.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I see nostalgia as bittersweet.
Yes.
I mean, I look yes. back and I see a lot of great things I had in my childhood. And
yeah.
if you didn't get a spoiled bean, you got a pinchy pinky.
It was 50 cents cheaper, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they didn't break when you hit them good with the stickball
oh,
back.
Oh, yeah. So you had nothing but pinchy pinkies, huh?
Nah, we love to play with the Spalding, but we ran the store out half the time.
Can you feel that ball in your hand now? What is that rubber?
Oh, Spalding, you had that crinkly finish,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you could feel the seam. You could feel the seam in this, because that's what always broke, was the seam.
Yeah.
But they were pumped up with a few more pounds of pressure than the Pensy Pinkies.
They were good for the first three games, and then the Pensy Pinky came in, and then lasted for seven more games, right?
That's about it.
Where are you from, Ken?
I'm from Ozone Park.
Oh, okay. So do you have a Spalding or a Pensy Pinky in your home?
Well, I tell you, there was a store about 10 years ago when I grew up. I'm 60.
Okay.
We used to buy everything at Marquette's. And Murray died. They closed the store, and I went in. And you know what I bought? I bought a stickball bat.
All right.
That was the last stickball bat they had, and I bought it, and I got it hanging on my wall.
Oh,
same thing with that little tape around it.
That black electrical tape?
Yeah, that official stickball bat.
Fantastic. So you can really connect to this younger part of yourself.
Oh, I think I had a great childhood.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I mean, like I said, you know, but I look at the bittersweet part comes is today. You cannot have a childhood like that today.
No, you can't.
Everything today is too overprotective.
That's a good point.
You know, I think Armand had somebody on about a nation of wimps.
Yeah.
And we have made our children wimps.
Yeah, overprotected.
It's true. I mean,
definitely. I remember we played. Remember Chinese handball against the wall.
Yep. Some people called it seven or eight people up,
and you had to hit the box next to you.
Yep. Yeah.
But we used to play a version called Arses Up.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, we know that one too.
And it's the guy who won. Got to throw the ball, you took the position in front of the wall, and you tried to hit him in the backside from a distance.
Right, and the kids don't get exposed to that these days.
They don't have it.
A lot of kids aren't even allowed to walk to school. I mean, in their own neighborhoods, they're not allowed to walk the couple blocks to school. And it's definitely something has been lost, Ken. I agree with you.
You're definitely right. I have a friend of mine. His son was in the seventh grade. They lived 10 blocks from the school, and his mother picked him up every day. That's the seventh grade. The kid couldn't walk 10 blocks.
Ken, what are they missing out on? Let's not call them wimps, but what are these kids missing out on?
I think that they're missing out on being themselves.
Keep going.
You know, they don't learn, you know? I mean, I can remember being in the second grade and taking my bicycle three blocks away to try to impress this girl who was in the class with me by doing tricks on my bicycle.
Okay, mm-hmm. Right.
We were out there every night playing football in the winter in the street.
Yeah.
If we weren't in the schoolyard two blocks away playing stickball with pitching, we were in front playing, you know, long stick without the pitching, going so many manholes down for a home run.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, you did.
Then we played wiffle ball on the four corners. Each corner was a base.
So as you're talking, like, I'm really feeling the sensations that you were exposed to as a young guy. You know, did you get blisters on your hands or cracks in your fingers when the winter playing touch football?
We ripped up our knees and pants. We got banged into the stuff. We used to play bicycle tag. You hit the other guy's bicycle with your bicycle, and he's it. You know, nobody cared about being hurt. Yeah, yeah. You're a kid. You know, 2 days later, you're back, you know, 100% almost.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Stitches on every part of my body. No big deal.
You're illustrating this point that we're making, that nostalgia can help us get in touch with a freer time in our life. And that it can, you know, show us the continuity of our lives. It sounds like you still have this playful guy in you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do. You know, if my bicycle's working, it's only 7 miles down to Rockaway Beach, straight down Cross Bay Boulevard. I bicycle down to the beach. This, you know, I can make it 35 minutes. You know, it's great. No problem.
This weekend. It's there for you.
Yeah.
Well, look, we appreciate your call. This is a great call. I forgot P. Pency Pinky.
That's right.
I forgot it. I'm going looking for it. But look, before you go, do you remember when Spalding had a U in it? Spaulding. I'm asking people this. I think somebody
wrote. Yeah, right. Spaulding. Right.
Right, because you know originally it's Spalding. So, you know, some guys remember when it was a cheaper version of the Spalding when it had the.
Yeah, because they wrote that in script on the ball.
Yeah,
that's
it
right.
It could be the Mandela.
It wasn't in script. It wasn't block letters. It was in script across the ball.
Exactly.
And well, underlined.
Ken, call us again in the future. You're a great soul.
Okay, well, hopefully maybe I'll come down to your shop there and speak a little bit, you know, on another time.
Yeah, well, we'll have you talk to the kids. All right, be well, bye-bye.
Hey, you know, it's good for them. You know, you got to take chances in life.
You got it, Ken. Thanks so much for calling.
Okay, thank you for listening.
You bet.
Take care, Ken. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. 212-757-5555.
There's that stickball bat I was...
Now, my question is, the kids today, when they are, you know, our age, what will they say the kids then are not doing that they got to do?
Well, by that point, the kids then will just be kind of permanently wrapped in a virtual reality cocoon where they just kind of sit inside their VR cocoon for, right. You know, 24 hours a day. And they'll say, hey, you remember when we used to... be in a cocoon?
Like their parents will be like, oh, remember when we used to play Pokemon out in the plaza?
Yeah.
We could wander around.
Yeah, I don't want to go negative, but they'll find something. But I'm sure it's going to be when they felt connected. They're not going to say, oh, I remember being in my room playing Pokemon or doing video games.
Well, they might because they feel very connected to the people that they're competing with in their own way. It's not the same connection that we experienced when we were young. And we always kind of say, oh, well, it's going to... But it's just different. This is evolution.
So you're saying that somebody can look back and say, oh, I felt connected through Facebook or something.
Absolutely.
And that's I'm nostalgic those days.
That's where they're starting from. You know, they didn't have our nostalgia. They're starting from this point. You know, of course, there's the influence of, you know, the parents that maybe had that freedom. They're going to still influence their kids in some way. But it's shifting and changing all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. You know, we got it. I trust that it's somehow part of our evolution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from another listener. We have Pat on the line. Hi, Pat. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Pat.
Hi, Pat. Hi, Ben. Hi, everyone. I love the show.
Hey, Pat.
Hi. I especially love the relationship between you two guys. The sweetness and the affection that you have for each other, you know, it's just so masculine and so needed. I just wanted to say that. But in relationship to what you're talking about, I think children are missing trust, and I think it's because their parents don't trust. And I just remember waving out a car window and having other people wave back at me, you know, when we were on vacation, and even honking the horn sometime to another family. But I notice if I'm walking down the street and I see a beautiful child or something walking with their parents, and I give the child a wink or a wave or something, they don't wave back. They look like confused, like they don't know what to do with that. And sometimes the parents will even look back at me and they'll take the child's arm and pull them forward, they're afraid to let their child even wave back to a stranger. And that's so sad.
Yeah, Pat, there's so much we want to talk to you about. Are you driving a car?
Am I now?
Yeah, we're hearing this big echo in the background. We don't know what it is.
Oh, you know what it is? It's a fan. I'm so sorry. Hold on.
Can you turn?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that must be it.
an air conditioner or a fan.
Yeah, well, you know, you bring up a good point. So many people are nostalgic for when life was safer. And yeah. And there were things that you could trust in, and that one would be getting a wave back from somebody.
Yeah, this is, you can see the fear, you know, and then sometimes they secretly turn around and see if we, if that little connection that we made with each other is still available.
Mm. Right.
So, like, it's something that they're instinctively knowing is okay, but they're being groomed not to trust. And if that happens just on the street, walking down the street, just imagine what it happens in communities.
Yeah.
No, and that's, I think that's all. What probably we're all missing is just that wonderful feeling of being able to look people in the eye and smile at them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. So I'm doing my part.
You sound like you are.
Doing a lot of winking and waving and smiling, yeah. And I can tell you it gives back great rewards.
Yeah, those people that do respond, you know.
Yeah, it really, really does. Yeah. And then I also see these little kids with these huge backpacks.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Huge backpacks. They could never, you know, chase a bird or skip or hop or anything. And I'd like to know what's in those backpacks.
Yeah, about 80 pounds worth of textbooks.
I mean, what happened to computers and eliminating paperwork and books?
I don't know. I think, they're still trying to keep them tactile.
Well, it's your job to bring all this back, Pat, and let people know that their life can be simpler and that it's much better when it is simpler.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. I'm a hypnotherapist, and I work with people a lot just on learning how to make eye contact again.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's such a valuable skill.
And hypnotherapy.
It is. I love it.
Yeah, and hypnotherapy uses nostalgia a lot. Right?
It does. Yes, you're absolutely right. I love what you said about even going back to the sadness. Mm-hmm. I mean, children need to know that they have sadness within them, too, and we as adults revisit that sadness. And I love what you said this morning about learning from that, you know, like where we were then and where we are now and how we've grown or how we haven't grown,
Pat,
we got stuck.
I do have to cut you off,
sometimes.
Pat, because we're running up against the end of the program.
It's such a beautiful topic. I thank you so much
for
it.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for the call. We do have to cut you off because we're running up against the end of the program. But thank you so much for tuning in and for calling us today. And I want to remind our listeners, we'll be back here next Tuesday. Yeah, next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Same time, same place, 99.5 FM, WBAI. I'm Ben Starr in here with Kevin O'Donohue and Nasima Diane Deamer. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining me.
Sure.
And like I said, we need you guys to go to WBAI.org and become a BAI buddy. All you got to do is go to WBAI.org. Go to the top right corner of the screen. There's an area where you can click on how to donate. And we need as many people as possible to become BAI buddies in honor of the positive mind. This is a new thing that every show is going to have to do. And the more of you become BAI buddies for us, then the less likely it is that we will be canceled, believe it or not. So that's what we need from you.
$10 a month.
It's $10 a month to be a BAI buddy. It's tax deductible. It's an automatic payment through a credit card. We are asking you, imploring you to do this to keep us on the air. So again, you can go to WBAI.org and click on ways to donate.
And great programming to come.
Yes. Thank you to all our callers and listeners. We love you guys. Take care.
Thank you.
We're lost in this mess.